I apologize for making you wait to drink beer.
No, that's okay. Rebecca and I were just playing words with friends among ourselves in the hour or so that we've been waiting, and she's busy kicking my ass. Keeps getting 60s and 70s all over the place. It's basically Scrabble for a phone.
Oh, I know. I also have been known to play some words with friends. I haven't in quite some time, though. It's been a little bit.
I'm a bit tardy with it.
Fine.
Sometimes I go 2 or 3 days and then suddenly remember I'm supposed to be playing that, and then I get a prod from her saying, "Oi." And I'll, "Oh yeah, that thing." So I play a word and then she replies within about 30 seconds and scores another 60 odd points, and I've got to go away again with my tail between my legs.
See,
generally, Eric.
See, the way you are with words with friends is the way I am with Duolingo. Every time I try to learn a different language, I want to be Spanish, I want to be French, and then I do it for 2 days, and then I forget about it for about 3 weeks. I think.
Yeah.
It's certainly not my favorite part, but it's become such a pattern that I'm almost used to it, is the guilt trip emails you get. They all say things like, your lack of learning another language has effectively starved third world countries. You're the worst type of human.
Wow.
I am Ross. This, joining me, is Ian, and we are drinking a Kolsch and a strawberry Kolsch as we attempt to drink Nova Scotia dry. So one of them is from Off Track Brewing, which I think is in Bedford. And the other one is from Serpent Brewing, which, if I'm not mistaken, is also... Oh, no, it's Spryfields. Serpent Brewing is from Spryfield. I thought they were both from Bedford, but they're both
really
definitely...
Close, don't they? They're down the road from one another.
Yeah, they're both in the HRM. So it's funny. You have been our representative person to go to the big city, which I'm fine with. We have to send the posh person with the posh accent into the big city to get the big fancy bars from the urban center of the province, don't you?
Well, you've taken all the rest of it, so I might as well take Halifax.
It's true. Well, okay. Perhaps my partner likes to go on long drives. Perhaps your partner likes urban centers. Let's just...
I actually got the last one. I got this. I went to the Serpent Brewing with Tim Vallely there a week or two back. It was his birthday. Yeah, so that's where I frequented that. It was supposed to be the Brightwood Brewery. I was planning on frequenting and seeing what they had, but then this one was someone got recommended to us this place. So I went there instead, and it came up trumps because I got 5 or 6. And I was supposed to get you a glass. Failed miserably.
Oh well.
How sad. Never mind. I'll get.
But you did pick me up a glass from Annapolis.
I did. This glass.
Annapolis,
of course.
Brewing Company.
I'm going to use it this evening. I've already used it.
See, I'm not. I'm trying to be a purist. The attempt to collect all the glasses means that at some point I want to 100% get the right beer in the right glass. Not specifically the right glass, because apparently there's glasses for stouts and there's glasses for pilsners, and I just want the right brewery glass. I'll go as far as that, and then we'll see how rich and posh we get after that. But
well,
for right now...
On that note, actually, Ross, straight away, the glass that you have, I don't know if you've used it yet. I only used it for the first time today. It doesn't sit right on the table.
Is it lopsided?
It's got a wobble. So it's got an imperfection in the bottom of the glass. And I thought at first it was the table, but no, it's the damn glass. So I'm disappointed with it.
Having absolutely no idea how glasses are made or glass blowing works or however, I said, well, they must have poured the glass wrong. Because,
exactly.
They're standing there pouring
the
molten glass into the little...
That's how they do it.
I'm assuming so. So going in order of weak to strong, which offended Jeremy tremendously one week, but... His immediate response was, "What are you saying?" I said, "One has a lower alcohol percentage. That's all we go by. You start with the one."
Yeah.
And also, it's the smaller of the two. This is the tiny 355 milliliter bottle from Off Track Brewing, as well as I think Triders also has them in the small little old fashioned brown bottles like these. But they do fit 355 whole milliliters into it. And this is the Off Track Brewing Universal Soldier Kolsch. I have two things to say about that. One, Universal Soldier was an okay movie, and we shan't talk about the sequels.
Who was in that?
That was a Van Damme. That was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, okay. That's
not to be confused with Soldier, which was a Kurt Russell movie where he was an android and only had something like 7 lines in the entire movie. And he was just this very stoic face. Well, he was Kurt Russell as a stoic faced action hero, just in there to blow everybody up. Now, the second thing we need to talk about is Kolsch.
Oh, yeah.
K-O-L-S-H is how it's spelled on there. So,
are they missing a C? Oh, they're not. You've just
K-O-L-S. Oh, did I forget the C? K-O-L-S-C-H. Sorry, that's probably me. Now, we joked about this because we both said, what is the plural of Kolsch? Because we are trying Kolsches. And so I did a little bit of research. You did some research as well, did you not?
Not on the plural of it, but I'm guessing because it's German. You're going to put me in my place now. Because it's German, of German origin, I would imagine it would end in EN if it was a plural, would it not?
Oh, I didn't look up what it was in German. I just found a few sites that referred to them as Kolsch. Just did a very quick ES at the end of it. But the thing that I learned, and here's me learning stuff, is that Kolsch is a style of beer originating in one specific part of Germany, and much like a champagne from the Champagne region of France, something can't be called a Kolsch if it's made from outside of Kolsch, or sorry, the Cologne region.
Cologne.
The Cologne of Germany.
So let's just assume that the K-O-L in Kolsch is because Cologne in German is Köln, which is K-O-L-N with a normal on it. So I'm guessing fine. That K-O-L must be the beginning of that town. Of the
I'm
city.
Perfectly Cologne. Fine accepting that. That makes total sense to me.
Right, it makes sense to me too.
There's another thing that I looked up. There was a big long description of it, but regardless, so within the EU, this is only a rule within the EU, you can't call a beer made in this same way a Kolsch unless it's made in the Cologne region of Germany. Worldwide, anyone can do whatever they want. So in North America, us boys, we happy few, the breweries from anywhere around outside of the EU, they can say, well, we've made this in the Kolsch style, so it's a Kolsch. But if you were in the EU, if we were in Sweden, if we were in, I almost said India, that's wrong, Ireland.
No,
if we were in Ireland, I don't know if this is illegal. I don't know if you get your license revoked. Something happens to you, but you can't call anything a Kolsch that wasn't made like that. Which is why I find it kind of funny, because Champagne region of France, it's worldwide.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to call something a champagne unless it's actually from there. So for some reason, this beer thing has not caught on quite as well as the wine thing, maybe, in their
So they would really be allowed to call it a Kolsch-styled beer in the same way as a champagne, because pomade and sparkling wines, like you said, they're not allowed to call themselves a champagne, but they do. No, because if it's a sparkling wine, we just call it a champagne. You wouldn't be able to put champagne on the bottle, but if it's sparkling wine.
So I think it comes down to that. The labelling, obviously.
There is some kind of law in Germany, I believe, about that, but with their food and drinks, that it's that I can't remember what the exact name of it is. It's a regal, whatever it is. And it's to do with... oh, goodness me. Should have looked this up a bit more before I came on. But it's something to do with the fact that this is it's called a Kolsch because it contains only certain ingredients to it. Therefore, if it had any more ingredients in that Kolsch, it wouldn't be a Kolsch anymore.
What was it? It's supposed to be... It's not hazy, but it's hoppy. And it's... What was it? Bottom fermented, top fermented. I forget
top
what the exact.
Fermented, but you
very,
can...
very similar to Pilsner style.
Right, Pilsner's lagers, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
warm filtered.
What? Oh, that's very strange. I feel like I'm reading this exact same description as we have read for one of the off tracks before. I have found the description. It is not on the bottle, as it isn't always. Because on the bottle, what I love about off track, they always say, "We're not going to level you. We're really bad about writing."
Yeah.
And then they just say, try this beer. However, on the site, it does say, Universal Soldier Kolsch, clean, crisp, and delightful. Conditioned for 6 full weeks, this beer is refined and refreshing. Also a great beer for those who are new to craft beer and are just getting started. Very little bitterness creates a light and balanced flavor profile. I feel like they've said that before. Haven't we had a beer that was all kind of, this is for people who are brand new to craft beer? And I feel like it's kind of a, I don't know. Is it an insult? Is it sort of a slap in the face where they say, no, hang on, everybody. And dear Molson and Coors drinkers, you're going to need to hang on to your taste buds because this one has, let me just check my notes here, flavor in it. So hang on. But if you're going to, you're at the pub. These are people who are ordering, you know, oh, I'll have the Cajun wings. Blah, 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 blah. And yet for some reason, if you tell people that things are going, this might be, this isn't going to taste exactly like a Bud Light. It was, raise hell, toss the table. No, it must be a Bud Light or it is no longer beer. I declare it. And yet you have to slowly coax and nurture people towards craft beer. I don't know. Do I have a slight chip on my shoulder about liking craft beer and how everyone
Pilsnery to Margery, isn't it? Therefore, you're not expecting it to have a great deal of flavor to it.
No!
It's not gonna taste of Christmas trees, is
it? You're not telling me it's a cinnamon flavored Irish red or anything
right,
like that. It's,
well, I'm assuming it's just going to be a summery kind of refreshing, light, slightly hoppy, lagery pilsner is what I'm expecting, and nothing more. So if I get any more than that, then it'll be all. But that's what I'm expecting, and I'd be fine with that too, Ross.
Yeah.
And if it was a warm day and I'm having a meal and some, then why wouldn't I go with that? If it is that. If it, on the other hand, like you say, if it's dreadfully hoppy and we're going, oh, bloody hell, it's just an IPA, then I'm going to be very frustrated.
Now, what
if... Because they're telling us it's going to be something flavoury.
Style of beer. A straw yellow hue? I don't really know if that's quite... It's warm fermented with top fermenting yeast.
Yeah.
It's one of those strictly defined... It is one of the most strictly defined beer styles in Germany.
So there we go.
It's pale... Highly attenuated, that's a big word that I might not understand. Hoppy, bright, filtered, but not cloudy. That was the one, yeah. So it's, okay. Now I need to look up what attenuated is. Conversion of sugars into alcohol and carbon dioxide. Highly attenuated. Now, is that saying that it's fizzy? What a
lovely... Should we open
the
flipping thing and find out?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But right. This is my new word for fizzy. It was very attenuated. Oh, look.
Attenuated.
Attenuated, maybe.
Okay. I used to connect that with a volume, like I mean an audio volume.
Attenuated.
Attenuate. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking up attenuation. Oh, it linked me to attenuation in regards to brewing. It's a sub page on the Wikipedia article here.
Might be a different version. Attenuate.
What I like about the small bottle is that it fits all in my glass in one go.
Well, I'm going to see whether it fits in this brand new glass we got from the Annapolis Brewing Company.
It should, unless you bought the 12 ouncer.
Yeah.
Please say that you can get a full 16.
It looks
It has a delightful smell.
It does, doesn't it? Crisp.
This, crisp. You know what? Just that that nice, I don't even know how to describe it. And it's going to sound like a total god, but it's got a beery smell to it. This smells like a freshly cracked Toller Gold. Can I say? And as one of my more favorite tasting and smelling, I don't want to say light because it's a 5% beer, but lighter in color beer,
as
you know, lager, obviously lager or pale ale. It's not a bad thing that it smells like one of my faves.
It smells really good.
It's got a delightful head on it. You can see all the fizz in there. Look at all that attenuation, sir.
That's tons of attenuation.
It's attenuating like it's life depended on it.
Did you pour it down to the dregs, my friend? Because
I did.
Good. Because mine's cloudy. And it was clear until, of course, we got to the SETI down the bottom. And now
you're probably right.
It is very cloudy now.
I
That's not a bad thing. We like it.
I certainly couldn't recognize anybody through it, but I could tell that someone was sneaking up on me.
That's
yours is cloudy.
Mine's cloudy.
Yours is certainly cloudier than mine.
Mine is opaque.
Perhaps you poured yours as aggressively as we were supposed to last week with those stouts.
Okay.
It smells delightful. I can't wait for this. Y'all set? Ready for beer number one?
Can you smell a little bit of sort of citrusy?
I'm not getting citrus. No, definitely some wheat, barley. Definitely the grainy properties. And
is this going to be like a wheat? Oh, anyway, let's get the old yeah. laughing gear around this.
Well, I don't want it to smell like those. What was that cheers. Spice that's all in the other one?
Mm, cheers.
Oh, yum. Ooh. Mm, that's attenuating my tongue just right.
All right, go on. Look up attenuating then.
I'm trying. I'm trying to figure it. Okay, but obviously it's it might mean something else, maybe.
That's
perhaps.
Very refreshing.
I don't care. Attenu.
It's a little dry. I like that. Without being terribly bitter or hoppy. I like that.
Mm. Yes. I fully agree. It is.
Mm.
That is a really, whew, pardon me, really nice lager.
That's easy, and isn't it? It's not. It's smooth. It's smooth. That's the word
so
I haven't used for
smooth.
A while. It really is. It's not like a lager. You know, a lager can be it's like drinking a really fizzy kind of. Not great taste. I mean, this is
a
very smooth, like a
yeah,
pilsner.
But we've had some rather good lagers. Oh, and this, if you just told me that this was a lager, I'd say this is one of the better lagers that I've had.
And of course, you mentioned right there that about Tola Gold. It even tastes a little similar to Tola Gold,
it's,
is it?
Mm-hmm, yep. But you're right that it's drier.
Yeah,
the flavor's there, and it's delicious. But it takes a second to get there, perhaps because of this sort of fizzy or the whatever top fermentation. I wish I understood the science of it to describe this better than conditioned. So it's conditioned at cold temperatures like a lager, and then it's the brewing process is similar to an alt beer, traditionally served in a tall thin. Cobes, blah blah blah. Outside the user does not want another refill. They place the coaster. Oh, interesting. Okay. Oh, if you don't, apparently, if you get it served, you have to put your coaster on top of it. If you don't want another one, causing you to not be able to be served another one. Increasingly, I'm starting to get a little bit of an aftertaste. It's sticking around.
I was
going to
ask you whether you had that. I'm certainly getting one.
Roof of my mouth. It's
dry.
It's sticking.
Hmm.
The bitterness is hanging out, kind of reminding you, hey, you just had a beer.
It's funny you should mention alt beers, because this is from the same kind of region. It's from the northwest of Germany. Düsseldorf is the home of the alt beer, as I remember, both in the north. Well, I used to live up that way, of course, and Cologne wasn't too far away either. So they're both kind of up there. Alt beer is very... it's darker, of course. It just means old beer. But it's not dissimilar to this style of Kolsch. If I don't know, style of Kolsch or style of beer, what this Kolsch is. Crisp and savoury, just how a Kolsch should be, said someone. It's
Did
a
you
hit.
Say yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I'm liking this, yeah.
So I guess
beer.
It was going for the German thing. I guess.
Do you now feel like you missed out, not being so close to Cologne and not going over to the Cologne region of the Champagne region of beers?
If I had known, I would have done. Ooh. But I have been to Cologne. It's gorgeous. Mostly on style, says Mark Andre Harvey. Not as crisp as a true Kolsch, but mostly on style. Interesting. And I can't even comment because I don't remember having a Kolsch, but I must have done. If I lived there for 3 years, Ross, I must have had Kolsches, not really paying them much attention to the name. You know what I mean?
Going to see if we have even had an Kolsch. Oh, apparently not.
No.
This is our first Kolsch? Why do I think that we've had one before? My. Well, there
you are.
We're
going to have them now.
This is my very first Kolsch that is effectively, it shouldn't be called this because it's not made from Cologne, Germany.
Right.
But we're allowed to get away with it because international pirating law, probably. We're in international waters right now, according to the EU rules on naming beers. But it's very much like it is a dry lager with just a hint of, not even an unwelcome aftertaste, just keeping the taste around.
Yeah,
so
it does.
Little tiny bitter on the end.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
It is hanging in there, but it's not. It's not an aftertaste that's just. It's not like, oh, there's something going on there at the back. It just tastes. It just lingers. That's what it is. It's not an aftertaste. It's a lingering flavor. You get it early, and it's there, and you like it, and it's smooth, and it's dry, and it's very flavorsome, and it hangs around. And I like this a lot.
Uh-huh. This definitely passes the "would you have another" test. The beer
with flying colors.
The beer flinger comes about and says, "Do you have another of those?" Oh,
yes please. If I'm in Germany and I'm sitting at one of those 100-foot-long tables and there are Frauen there with their hair in pigtails and serving them busty wenches of 8 glasses at a time, Oktoberfest while this, if this was on that night and this was the only thing going, bring it on. This would be excellent, wouldn't it? I like this.
If you are listening to this and you are yourself a busty wench, we'd just like to say that we appreciate your lifestyle choices.
I think I was stereotyping the image of Oktoberfest.
The funny thing is that I think even in getting a job at Oktoberfest, they'll probably provide you with several things. They'll say, right, here you are. Here's your uniform. If you don't fit into it, here's all the padding that you need to fill it all out. Because can you imagine? There are obviously thin people in Europe. They exist. But I get the feeling that they probably lump up the costume a little bit for Oktoberfest. You don't want to get served 9 beers by
just
some
for the tourists.
Ropey, thin. Yeah, exactly.
Just for the tourists.
Rake, thin, weight person. No, you want someone who looks like she can go out and wrestle a hippo and win.
I did win
a wrestling match against a hippo.
I did wear Lederhosen at my first Oktoberfest and subsequent ones, in fact, while I was in Germany, because that's what you do. Just to get into the spirit of it. I didn't go down to Munich, to München for it, but the British base up there where I was based at the time got right into the spirit, of course, for Oktoberfest. And I'd newly arrived there about 2 or 3 weeks after I got there was Oktoberfest. And I was still in a state of, I'm in a new country and enjoying myself. And I went to the squadron Oktoberfest. Rarely have I been so ill, Ross. after all, I don't recall being. It's happened once or twice in my life, but rarely have I been as ill as after my very first Oktoberfest. But at least I did get a free glass, you know, because of course you get given. Like for all my trials and tribs, I did get a free glass after it. I was lining up the next morning. Oh my God! At the equivalent of the superstore here, because I hadn't got any painkillers. I mean, a child's error when you're going to want Oktoberfest not to have any ibuprofen or aspirin the next morning. And I remember standing in that line, wishing I were dead. And it's a Saturday morning, so the lineup is really long of people there with full carts, and I just trying to buy this one packet of ibuprofen. I couldn't make it, unfortunately. I had to leave it there and go and not to embarrass myself too much, but unfortunately I was on all fours outside the front door bringing up a lot of what went into me the night before. Yeah. And it's Bitburger and Warsteiner. If you've ever had either of those German beers, they're not Kolsch's as far as I'm concerned. I think they're just Pilsners. But either way, they're 5% and they're strong-ish, and I drank way too many of them.
I would just like to say that for our little production here, it's nice that our expert on British pubs and beers also happens to be our official expert on Oktoberfest and all things German. It's not you're the full package.
Is that what I am? An expert on this? Because I've never been an expert on anything in my life. I've frequented enough pubs. Does that make me an expert?
Yes, because right, between well, the two of that. Us, between the one out of all of the staff at Drink NS Dry, you will definitely have the most experience going to official Oktoberfest in Germany celebrations. Yeah. So I think you could definitely, I'll make you a little badge.
Thank you. I'll have that flag. I'll pin that to my
mask. Small trophy,
a
little pin. We'll just cover ourselves in pins eventually over the years.
Well, why not? Why wouldn't you?
This is it's delicious. I like it. I'm having not had a Kolsch before. I'm hoping this is what they're supposed to taste like. So honestly, if this were the benchmark, it's hard to get maybe tastier than this. Perhaps do you go with more of a spice, more of a like a little zip at the end there, or not a spice, but a sort of a carbonated just that little nip there somewhere. But then
there's something going on actually. He's talking about nip, and I just said only 5 minutes ago, there's nothing at the end apart from the same lovely flavor at the beginning. But I am getting something now. And I'm getting toward the bottom of the glass. I don't want to drink it all because, I don't want to drink it all. I want to save a bit for to compare it again afterwards with the other one. But there is a little something there. Or maybe it was a peanut that I had lodged in my tooth that I've just got a second bite of. I don't know. But there was something else just pinging away there at the back of my taste buds. And it was lovely.
It wasn't Pilsners. It was something else. But they kept bringing up the flavors that you wanted to get in a certain, it was banana and cloves. It cloves?
Yeah.
And I'm getting
the wheat
tiny
beers.
Yeah, the wheat beers. And I'm getting a tiny little reminder. That's certainly not a flavor, but a reminder of a cloves spice.
Okay.
Just
there is
a reminder.
Something in there. Is it so? It's very subtle, isn't it? Whatever it is, it's very subtle.
The carbonation of the bitterness, I think, because it feels in my mouth more like the bitterness is happening up near kind of like the tops, my upper teeth, kind of round the side there. That's where it's happening, and that's where usually the cloves flavor hits as well.
Wow, but you really are in tune with your teeth.
I try to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good little parts of your mouth tasting other ones.
Yes, which part of my face is happy right now is the question you try to answer while you're
the clove, the clove part,
this.
The clove senses receptacle.
Where was I? That's right. We were out at a British pub the other day, and they served us a couple of new beers, certainly ones that we'd never had before. And I was trying to act like just a standard person in a pub, saying, "So right this." And then you and Rebecca were very, ooh, the mouthfeel, the crispness, ooh, this is quite smooth. Yes, I do. I think this one is an 8 out of 10. I was like, no, don't care. I did not have my
you didn't have your reviewer's head on.
No, not my judgy taste buds or whatnot. So I was just not so much caring. Especially, I was probably a little bit more descriptive of the beer that I tried before you got there, which was just... it was not good. And it was supposed to be a honey brown ale. And I think, but brown ale is delicious and honey is delicious. How did you mess this up? And it was not good. And it was, I think it was from Smokehouse too, which was even more disappointing. Anyway.
I haven't tried them yet. I haven't been to Smokehouse yet.
So I need to try it. So the short story on my enjoyment of that is I don't really feel like I need to go as high as a 9 for that, because I don't really understand what a Kolsch is. So do I have to be kind of boring? I'll give it 8 and 3 quarters. Platform 8 and 3 quarters.
Rather than a 9.
Platform away from the Hogwarts Express.
Yeah, what was that? 9 and 3 quarters?
It was 9 and 3 quarters. Know your Harry Potter, sir.
I don't, actually, but we were in the... We were at King's Cross Station last summer, and there's a pub that's now kind of opened up with they're really playing on the whole Harry Potter thing, and I think it was called the 9 3/4 of that pub, and there's all memorabilia. Yeah, it was a bit of fun. Listen, if you can't give this a 9, what would you give your Tola Gold? Because to me, it's very, very similar.
It is, but this one is a Kolsch, which is supposed to be a slightly different kind of beer.
But how do we know what it's supposed to taste like?
Which is why I'm saying that I'd really like it, and that's all I can go by.
Is Tola Gold a Pilsner, Ross? Or is it
no,
a lager?
No, Tola Gold is just a lager, isn't
it? Well, this, by all accounts, if anything to go by, if the internet is anything to go by, and I think it is, the Kolsch is in the same family as a Pilsner or a lager.
Yeah, it's a German lager.
Pale ale. So, I don't know, man.
So I guess if if we were enjoying lager here, and it was basically it is the sparkling white wine.
Yeah.
And then someone comes in and says, oh, here, try a Kolsch. This try is what started Kolsch. The whole thing. This was where this sort of style came from. I mean, I didn't keep reading the Wikipedia article. Did Kolsch lead to Pilsner and... I don't think so. Like, why? Why is theirs its own name when it's just a basic... Why don't they just say, oh, try a German lager. Here, try this. Why is it its own style if it kind of just tastes like a lager?
Maybe I'll look that up afterwards. I should have looked that up. I should really should.
But we didn't know what it was going to be. So yeah, again, going back to our delightful Wikipedia.
I'm loving it. I'm giving that. You gave it 8 3/4. I don't want to go too high either, because if I go into 9 territory and then I open up this strawberry Kolsch by Serpent Brewery and it blows me away, then I've got nowhere to go. This one would have to go to 11, wouldn't it? That would have to go to 11.
I guess so. Yeah, we might have to keep pushing that one up.
Yeah.
Oh, I finally found my favorite part of the entire thing. So, like I said, it is the most strictly defined beers because it must be brewed according to the Reinheitsgebot.
Reinheitsgebot. That's what I was trying to think of. I was trying to think of this law that the Germans have for...
it's such an easy word. It should just roll right off your tongue.
The Reinheitsgebot.
So that is... All right. So those are the grand high poobahs that govern...
Right.
These are the guys that we need to write to make white stout a thing.
Yeah.
Because they haven't quite decided on
brewing,
what that is.
Sorry, not brewing. It is a manufacturing standard that they have that for their food and... And drink that it must come to certain levels or must contain certain things, and then outside of that, then it can't be deemed to be what it is. Can't be deemed to be what it is. That makes perfect sense. It's like the ersatz products. You know, they have. Would you like to try this?
What's that?
It's a Kolsch. Aye, it's delicious.
And please prattle off everything that you know about what Kolsches are, because so it just seems to be people were making beer in a certain way, and so the town council of Cologne forced brewers to swear an oath to make it a certain way in the early 17th century, and then they started making it different ways anyway. This is political beer
Rebecca
made traditional way.
Rebecca just said it was sweet, which I get. She said like a pot. Interestingly,
it does taste a little bit like a strong beer, doesn't it? I don't want to have the last little sip. I'm going to have the last little sip.
I'm not going to, because I want to save it for off track.
Still impressing.
They're still doing it, aren't they? Off track. There was one we had of theirs. Can you remember? There was one we had, and we went, oh, that's a bit disappointing, because this is off track, and we've come to now expect some good things off track, because pretty much everything we tried is really good. But there was
they
one
have
we
certainly
had
done some delicious things. Where was our most recent off track?
They are the Anti-2 Crows.
Was it the Bullseye Red?
Yeah, it might be.
Was it the Red Ale? Going all the way back, there was a Cream Ale. Oh yeah, I didn't really like the Got Me Drove Cream Ale. Alias Pale Ale. The Peanut Butter Stout, obviously, was just outstanding.
But amazing. I've just damned 2 Crows, which was really unfair, because when I said they're like the Anti-2 Crows, the last two 2 Crows brews we've had were really good. The Refresh Lager surprised the hell out of me.
It did.
Because normally lagers don't do it for me at all. And the one before that was like, this is surprisingly good, because 2 Crows I just don't like very much. And so maybe I was just I'm warming to them, rather like a slow to warm to Radiohead album or something like that.
We're gonna listen to it the 50th time.
Oh, Rebecca just asked, is it an ale or is it a lager? Well, it's a Kolsch, Rebecca, and it's supposed to be its own thing. Yeah,
brewed similarly to lagers is what they're trying to say, though. They do. Right. They do mention that.
Yeah, I think it's really good. I'm giving it 8.5.
Okay.
If you're giving 8 3/4,
I am. I definitely am.
It's really delicious. It's the same again that they only come in 355s off track. Meanies.
Yes, so they're a little smaller.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling through because we're looking at the Serpent Brewing is coming up next.
Good.
And I scrolled past one that actually made me laugh out loud. It is a hilariously named beer. Where was it called? It was called the where did it go? It's a watermelon ale or watermelon wit beer, and it's called Watermelon Is Wrong With You.
Watermelon is wrong with you.
I don't know why that hit me the right way, but it really did.
I don't know what that means.
So it does, Serpent Brewing does list all of their beers, but it does not have much of a description of this one. But this is the pinkest, one of the pinkest cans we have seen. This is from Serpent Brewing out of Spryfield, Nova Scotia, is the Crystal Crescent Strawberry Kolsch. Now, two things. One, there is a Crystal Crescent Beach in Nova Scotia. Two, it is nowhere near Spryfield. It is further down the South Shore. It is a wonderful beach. Go to Crystal Crescent Beach as opposed to going to Spryfield. However, if you're going to Spryfield, go into Serpent Brewing. I think I drove past that a couple of times because I was dropping someone off in Spryfield just outside of, because there's apparently a little bit of cottage country out along the point as you drive all the way around. This is the Strawberry Kolsch, and this is a 5.9% alcohol by volume, and so it's a little bit stronger.
Strong beer.
And it lists first the ingredients is water, hops, wheat, malt, yeast, and strawberry. And then the description on the side is Belgian inspired, fruity, floral, soft, vibrant, Nova Scotia crafted. How can it be soft and vibrant at the same time?
Well, we should find out, shouldn't we? Really? Soft and vibrant at the same time.
You're in quite a rush tonight. I was going to say we will find out.
I wasn't saying we should crack it open straight away, unless you've just gone and done
it. I did.
That's not what I was getting at. But what I'm a little bit scared of is looking at the can, as you did, this very beautiful thing. What does it remind you of? The style of can?
Sour, I think, is where you're going here. But that's because it's very tropical colors. There's mild yellows, but there's pinks, there's reds.
And it's strawberry. So I'm thinking, oh no, is this going to be like a sour? It doesn't say it is. It says it's a Kolsch.
But the diamond shape, apart from being lots of little diamond shapes all over there, or maybe just polygons, it also kind of looks a little bit like a snake. Like scales, like reptilian scales, if you look really up close. So perhaps it could be a combination of strawberry and serpent. Oh my God, I'm an idiot. Crystals, derp. How about, you know, all the diamonds? It could be the crystals.
I see.
So I don't think they're making a reference to the beach of Crystal Crescent. Also, here's another favorite here. Beautiful little word play. Well, I don't know. What would you call this? Letter play? Where the C at the beginning of crystal is just a little bit, it's down a little bit on the line. So it becomes the first letter in both lines. So it's the first letter of crystal and the first letter of crescent.
Genius.
Otherwise, it's crystal crescent with a big C looping the two of them.
Yeah.
It's not as tall as both, but the font size is about the same. I'm a little worried.
I'm cracking
because my first smell out of this, I got a tiny little whiff of strawberry, but after that, it is yeasty. Very, very yeasty.
Well, if there is strawberry in it, it's really subtle.
Okay. Oh, do you know what?
What?
It's got a date on the bottom.
It's got what?
It says November 7th, 2022. This is brand new. We should have let it just sort of ferment in the wine cellar maybe a little bit longer.
Did you mention that on the last one that a Kolsch is, I'm rather worried I'm going to drop this on my head because it's already open, that it's like filtered for six weeks, did you say? It's only left for 6 weeks before, so therefore this is ready.
And just now.
Just now. About 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you did just get it. This is one of the newer additions to our beer collection.
I only got it last
collection.
Week.
Yes, yeah. it's just new in there.
So they just got it in.
Interesting. Okay.
Interesting. Pete, is drinking a Crystal Crescent and said, when I said it was subtle, very subtle strawberry, said Pete, comes across more on the nose than the palate. Well, you've got a tiny bit of straws.
I got a little on the nose. Just
and I haven't got even any of it.
Are you going to become even more suspicious if this pours out with any kind of a red or a pinky strawberry hue to it?
I might do, Russ. Let's find out.
That is rather golden amber, golden rific.
Good. It doesn't look like a strawberry. I was really worried this was just going to be a pink sour, and then
it's also not cloud. At least mine isn't cloudy thus far.
Nor was the other one until we got to the bottom. Yeah, it's pouring nicely.
Well, mine didn't, but I'm just rubbish at pouring. The head on it has a lot. Those are much larger bubbles, but the head is immobile. I like that one when you can move the glass around and the head stays exactly where it is. It's just thick like pudding.
Wow.
You want a good pudding head.
Wow. There's an awful lot of brown stuff floating around in this now. I've just turned it into
fine. It's either the strawberries or the crystals or the serpents.
Look at that. Can you see what's floating around in that?
I can't see the floaties.
Right, you can't see the floaties? Oh,
I don't think I can, no.
That's a shame. There's tons of sediment in this.
Ooh. Well, I wonder if I'm missing out then, because this is my problem with not having a glass that I can fit the whole damn thing into, is I feel like my first few gulps is of the good stuff in the top two-thirds, and then later I get just a big glass of sediment. It's like drinking a geology project. What?
It doesn't look particularly appetizing. Mine looks like dirty dishwater. Is what that looks like? And it's got the stuff that's floating around in it that you would find in the bottom of the sink after you've done the dishes as well. It looks thoroughly nasty, to be honest. And the head is just pissed off. It's gone.
It didn't
hang around at all.
Mine is really sticking around. I don't know what has happened between our two cans, but were not for my reading the word strawberry, I don't think I would detect it in the smell. But I'm sniffing and I'm using my imagination. I'm saying it's telling me it's strawberry, so I believe there is strawberry.
I've got my nose right in the glass then. I'm taking a big old snifter and I'm getting a hint of something fruity. But if you put a gun to my head and said, what was it before I knew it was strawberry, I couldn't have told you.
Yeah,
I might have guessed, funny enough, watermelon, which is what you mentioned a little while ago.
Yeah, maybe.
I might have gone for watermelon. Something slightly fruity and sweety, but not strawberry.
I recommend several gulps to get the full experience of this one.
I think it's a great idea. Why don't we do that?
All right.
Cheers.
And away we go. Huh. Barley. Little yeasty. Ooh, what's Oh my. Is there a strange metallic taste in the middle there? What is more?
I don't know. There's no sweetness to it. I'm not getting sweetness at all.
Nope.
So I would have been expecting some strawberry, something sweet singers. It's not I'm not liking it.
It's not terrible.
Does that make sense? No.
Oh, there we go. Now it's regurgitating.
There you go. Did you get
I have
stuff?
Bits.
Yeah.
I have bits.
This is like those sea monkeys.
My beer's got the chicken pox.
Yeah.
Oh, that looks awful.
Looks nasty, doesn't it?
I can't wait to drink that.
Thankfully, it doesn't taste like that. And of course, you're not getting all the bits when you're swinging. It's all the sediment. There was something else. It wasn't celery, but I'm trying to figure out what I was tasting.
Okay, but no, that little bit of a spiciness that you would associate almost with celery. Yeah, I agree. Okay, that's in there. Now I want to try this with... And I think that's what I was mentioning before. The first thing that I got off of it was kind of this yeasty smell. And maybe it's just sort of a spicy, like an unfermented bread kind of thing. But I think that's just... I don't know if the process...
There is a taste of yeast. I like yeast. I love the smell of yeast. Oh, my goodness. I love it.
Right. Because Marmite.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeast extract. I love it. Yes.
Is it a similar taste? to a yeast extract.
Do you know, that's not the worst observation. Yeah, maybe there was a little bit of that in it. I don't believe
I've ever tried Marmite in my life. However, I have had not quite fermented homebrew before.
Yeah. Ah, you're not a million miles away, mate.
That is a bit what this tastes like. But again, I didn't get mine with the little sea monkeys in it. Oh my God, you have Marmite in the house!
Well done. Pete said, very subtle strawberry, comes across more on the nose than the palate. Well, it's so subtle, I didn't get it. Perfect for the start of summer. This beer is a fruity take on our Day's End Kolsch. I believe that's what Serpent Brewing was saying themselves. But Tiffany Tozer said, half a star, maybe it went bad. Because it looks like it's gone bad.
Interesting. It does taste a little like it didn't quite work. Someone went in and fiddled with the thermostat.
Yeah.
Three quarters of the way through the brew. You know?
Or they just took the lid off to test and they went, oh shit, I shouldn't have taken the lid off.
The new guy. I've
crawled in there.
Colin, the new guy, the intern, the summer intern, he done totally messed up. And then he said, well, it's okay. It's only the strawberry Kolsch.
No one will buy it anyway.
Damn it, Colin. This was going to competitions next year.
I don't hate to say it. I'm happy to say that I don't mind this.
No, it remains tasty. It's not quite as smooth as the other one.
No, you 100%.
The bitterness has a little bit of tang of unfinished.
I got a bit of the strawberry. Maybe it's because I'm now halfway down and there's more sediment floating in the bottom.
Yeah,
maybe
you're just tasting little bits of strawberry.
I got a hint of strawberry there. Maybe it's all at the bottom. It's very, very subtle, Ross. But it's
way at the bottom of the tank.
And it is. It's getting fruitier the further down the glass I go.
Are you sure it's not just your imagination?
No, it's not. I've just burped a little bit there and it went up my nose. And I got... That's the way you're supposed to drink this. Burp it all through your nose. And you know, then you'll taste and smell the strawberries. I've got some fruit there going on now. I quite like this.
Do you know, when I was a kid, I couldn't drink pop. I couldn't. When I was about 6 or 7, go to birthday parties.
Which is why your teeth are so wonderfully straight and white.
Untrue.
All right.
It's because I'm Scottish. No. So I couldn't drink pop because... Was that Rebecca laughing at me? When I would drink pop, I would keep my mouth closed. So all the fizz then just destroyed my nasal cavities. It came up, around, and down. And I was like, ah! And it felt like my sinuses were on fire. I hated that. And it took me my whole life to perfect drinking carbonated things by exhaling and keeping my mouth open at all times. To this day, if I take a big swig of any kind of carbonated pop or something like a 7-Up, Coke, Pepsi, and if I keep my mouth closed, I will singe or have the feeling that I'm singeing. Is that sound right? The inside of my sinuses. I cannot do it. I cannot deal with carbonation like a normal person.
I have an obvious question.
Okay.
If you didn't like drinking pop, why did you drink pop?
Peer pressure. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Come on. To this day, I still don't like Orange Crush. It's a disgusting flavor.
Please don't tell me it's orange, but is it just a soft orange drink? Because I've heard of it. Yeah. Right. The only reason why I know that Orange Crush is because of the REM song. And Orange Crush, I believe, was nothing to do with Orange Crush at all. It was something
to
do with...
No, the song has nothing to do with the drink. I'm fairly certain the two are unrelated. Well,
I think one is the political... Or some kind of war or something, back in
yeah,
the...
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of like the New Order song, Temptation, has nothing to do with the Temptation Ale that we drink from, I believe, Garrison. The two are unrelated.
It has nothing to do with it? The two aren't...
I don't think so.
Okay.
No,
well,
you crack the can of the Garrison and it goes doo 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 doo.
The reason why this is actually quite a follow on from something I noted that my mum, bless her, my lovely old dear old mum, because I that was my question. Why would you drink pop if you didn't like it? Even as a kid, Peer pressure, though, I understand. My mum is 77. She's not a kid.
Huh.
Christmas Day, bless her.
Do you...
We were having a long distance WhatsApp conversation about Christmas meals. Oh, were we on the phone? I thought we were having a WhatsApp thing. Okay, we're on the phone.
These are important details.
I did follow up with some WhatsApp questions on the subject afterwards. I know that's how this went. And it was to do with the subject of Brussels sprouts at Christmas meal. Are you a devotee or not of Brussels sprouts at Christmas?
Did not enjoy them growing up. I am a convert, but no one else in the family likes them, so I don't get them all that often.
I'm the same.
Because they have to be done a certain way.
They do have to be done a certain way. This was some of the conversations we were having.
I will cut them in half and fry them in butter or bacon fat all day long. But I was brought up. My mom, here is the part of that story. My mom, who is 74 years old, that's intriguing because we have more of an age gap between the two of us than our mothers do.
In fact, I think my mum's 78. I've just done her a service.
Then mine's 75. Okay, let's see if we can go a little higher.
You won't be watching. It's okay. Carry on.
Try and beat my numbers now.
For years,
mine's 79.
She was 35 when she was in her 60s. So she's carry on.
So she, sadly, and I hate to call my lovely, delightful, very supportive mother out on this, but... my entire youth was under the thumb of the Scottish culinary school of boil the hell out of it.
Right. Well, it's better than the current Scottish culinary school of fry and deep fry the hell out of it. At least boiled is semi-decent for you.
I have ordered and eaten a deep fried pizza in Scotland.
I've also had a deep-fried Mars bar.
See, I regretted not getting the Mars bar now, because I would rather... I feel like a Mars bar would be better suited to being deep-fried than a pizza. Well, I was so curious. I said, you deep-fry a pizza? I had to try it.
Yeah.
And it was awful.
Yeah, so was the deep-fried Mars bar.
Terrible.
I got halfway through it, and it was stuck to my mouth. Ross, you know when you're trying to eat some, and eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which I've never had, by the way, never, ever, ever am I, because I'm just assuming that it's just going to be stuck up there in the roof of your mouth until you pull it down, because it's so stodgy. Oh, okay, well, I've never had one, but the deep-fried Mars bar did this to the top, the roof of my mouth.
Yeah.
And it tasted, I'll tell you what it tasted like, like a Mars bar that had been deep fried. If you can imagine something so awful,
it's battered too, isn't it? Because otherwise the chocolate just goes everywhere.
They put it literally in the fish batter and then throw it in the deep fat fryer with everything else. It's disgusting.
I still want to try one.
Trying
to come back to my mother's story. So Brussels sprouts. My mother, I was brought up on boiling the hell out of everything, so I don't like vegetables. And then as an adult, I figured out how to like crisp fry things and make them with butter and put them in there and do like a light boil, or put them in with the stir fry, put the peppers into the tail end so all the vegetables are still crispy, stuff like that. And I'm realizing that vegetables are tasty. Trying raw broccoli for the first time in my life, I was 20-something, and I went, oh my god, it's got flavor! What is this delicious vegetable? And I'm now a broccoli fan. So I became a vegetable fan.
Vegetables, whether they've been cooked or crudité.
Have you ever been in the lowlands of Scotland and someone said, we're having boiled vegetables tonight. That's the worst accent I'll ever say. But
go with it.
And someone offers you like just a basic dinner, mince and tatties, I think is the popular.
Yeah.
And we would always have boiled peas and
love all that.
Just mush.
Oh, sorry to hear that, Russ.
Absolute flavorless slurry.
Well, you are right. If you're eating it raw, apparently that's the way vegetables are supposed to be.
Yeah, steamed. Right, steamed is the word to use.
But
that my parents learned the word steamed when I was 15.
But to do with, I forgot the names already, Brussels sprouts. Now, I asked her, coming right back to that conversation, when you were talking about your Coca-Cola, and even though you didn't like it, you were drinking it, and that was my question, because it immediately evoked the conversation that we had. Because I asked my mum about these Brussels sprouts, and she said, and she was like, Mick, which is her husband, Mick and I don't like Brussels sprouts. And I said, okay, I understand. But when we were younger, you always used to serve us up Brussels sprouts at Christmas, even though we didn't like them. And she said, yes, but it was Christmas. I said, okay, I get that. When you're serving your kids things that you want them to eat because they are good for them, because these vegetables are good for us. If every kid said, I'm not eating that, I don't like it, and then of course they'd never have any vegetables and their bones would fall apart and they'd be ghosts by the time they were 15. But so therefore, us as parents, and you being a conscientious parent as well, I'm sure would have tried to give Joe the vegetables, fruits, whenever possible, because you know that's good for them. Whenever possible. Even though they were like, I don't want to eat vegetables. You said, well, you're going to sit here until you eat them. Now, my thing is, my mum is now 78, and she said, neither Mick or I like Brussels sprouts. I said, then why are you cooking them for you? She said, but I'm only doing three each for us because we don't like them. And they're two adults eating alone on Christmas Day. And she only made six Brussels sprouts for the two of them because neither of them like them.
That's the most, yeah, that sounds like the quintessential British Christmas dinner.
And exactly. And right. I said, why, Mum? She said,
right,
because
love.
It's Christmas.
Right, love, eat your kippers. Oh, don't like kippers, darling. Yes, I know, but it's Christmas. We're supposed to eat kippers.
Neither of us like them, so I'm only going to give us three each.
It's very British. It's a very stiff upper lip, isn't it?
Absolutely.
No, I did not like vegetables growing up, and now I love making them so that you can still taste them. And my daughter is even more of a connoisseur than anything, because even if I mix up like a stir fry of things or some little, you know, I chop up some pork bits and then I put some other veggies in there, and then peppers, like a fresh red pepper, and I slice it up and I chuck it in at the very tail end, and then I put the lid on and I count to 12.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, and then boom, done. Beautiful. Okay, in the bowl. And they're still crispy. They're just warm.
Crunchy.
And she still says, oh, I can't eat these. They're cooked. Mm. She has to have raw peppers. Just, you know, straight out the fridge and cut up. She will not have them even a little bit mixed in with things. And I'm thinking, fine. You like it it's how you like them. It. And
yeah,
eat your dang peppers. I don't care.
That's right. And you've got to go through all this again with your Britney's newborn.
Oh, yeah, but he'll be fine. I mean, Brittany, not well. Her, she's slightly pickier about eating than I am. I am 30 years younger than my mother. So how old am I? 44 years old. Wow. And I will eat anything. I've just come to that. There are leftovers in the fridge. Oh, I'll add this. Sometimes she knows better than to ask me what I had for lunch, because most of the time my answer to what did you have for lunch was I just combined some stuff together and heated it up and had like an apple with it. And I don't even know what I'm eating half the time. What's this? Don't remember. Boom. It's a leftover from two nights ago. Smash. Perfect. Goes in the bowl. Yes. Mix it all together. I have no idea what I'm eating, but it's fine. A little bit of pepper on top. I'll eat that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. So I'm not a foodie. And I don't fully... I enjoy cooking. I enjoy making a thing, making a meal, putting stuff together. I have no recipes. I have no nothing. My method of cooking, as I always tell Brittany and everybody, is add ingredients until you think it's done. That's okay. How I cook.
Yeah.
I start with, what have we got? Oh, we've got this. Poof, toss it in the pan.
Yeah.
And then I cook it for a little while, and then I smell it. I'm sort of like, oh, here we go. Bit of this, bit of that. Some of my favorite, there's all crushed garlic is over here. Always add loads of garlic into that. Celery salt is one of my favorites. I have no idea what celery salt is, but it makes everything taste amazing. Because we talked about the spiciness of celery. Bringing it all the way back to these interesting beers that we're drinking. Does this strawberry Kolsch taste like strawberry?
I'm going with a tiny little bit end of the glass. It's been fruity, and I can smell strawberries in the bottom of the glass. Get your nose in there again, Ross. And before you do finish, would you please take? I want to see the backdrop change to the Serpent Brewing place that I was in. Because it's lovely. I like the indoors. I like the interior of that. It actually reminded me a little bit when I was in there of the Off Track. It was quite similar.
They do seem very similar because we got this big pillar in the middle and you got a poster for sale. What's with the interesting makeup counter lighting? You've got these four, it's like a green room. These four lights shining down directly upon these strange brick. Outcroppings?
Right. Well, the lady who popped up from the counter to serve me was over your right shoulder in that sort of dark area over your over as I'm looking. You're over your up there. She popped up there and she was standing behind that counter. It looks a bit like a bar, I guess. And that's where she was. And that little fridge that's just off beyond that. Is where I picked all these delightful brews up from. And it's very... do you know what? It is fruity.
I also point out that, slightly unceremoniously, this is our first Serpent Brewing tasting. Our first tasting for me. And so they're probably not very happy that we're starting with a strawberry Kolsch to judge them. But, smooth? Yes. As advertised... Kolsch goes, if you just told me this was a regular Kolsch, I don't know that I would say it has a hint of fruitiness to it. I don't think I'd even go far. Really? You've got a hint of fruitiness? I haven't even drank all my sea monkeys yet.
The further I've got down the glass, and I'm going to nail my colours to the mast, I can now smell strawberries right down the bottom. It's a bit watermelony as well for me.
Mm.
I am getting strawberries. Right at the bottom of the glass, but that, of course, that's where all the sediment is now.
Oh yeah, so I drank all. That's what I did. I just took a big chug of my last few sea monkeys, but it is sweet.
Mm.
I will meet you with there is a sweetness.
There is a sweetness to it.
I don't know that I would assume fruitiness or even strawberry if it weren't written very largely on the can, and that's why. I think I have to mark it a little lower than the Off Track.
I understand why. It's not as tasty as the Off Track. The Off Track is a wonderfully, I say tasty. I mean, it is. There is
rounded flavor.
It's not as palatable on my tongue as the lovely, smooth, consistently tasty Universal Soldier Kolsch, which I'm about to take another swig of to compare.
Yes, and that is a good way to end off your evening. But so the strawberry comes in. It's still nice, and I like what they were going with. And there was a little bit of a sweetness, which was fun. It was almost missing, but I think the maltiness, the rounded maltiness, and the balance of it was better in the Universal Soldier. So the Crystal Crescent might be more of a 7.75 because I was fighting between a 7.5 and an 8. So we got an 8.75 for the Universal Soldier and a 7.75 for the Crystal Crescent.
I'm giving this a 7. I'm giving the Strawberry Kolsch, which I do not dislike. It's very weird. Mm-hmm. And if you could see down the bottom of it, you'd be like, why on earth would you want to drink that? Because all I can see down the bottom there now is like fish food. It looks so weird.
Aren't you glad that we're old enough that when there's stuff floating in our craft beer, we just go, just slam it back.
Ross, if that's the worst thing I drink this evening, and I can tell you it's not, because I opened one of my own brown ales, my home brew brown ales, about 20 minutes before we came on, and there was a worm floating in it. It was some kind of insect, but there was no denying, Rebecca, that was a millipede or a worm or something. I don't
like
know.
Like a little tiny, like a white.
No,
one,
it was black. It was black and it had legs. And it was about an inch long, but it was all curled up. I think it was a millipede. But the thing was, I did sanitize all my bottles. And I always do. I always sanitize. And now I made that brown owl about, I don't know, sick with brown owl? Brown ale.
Brown owl. Brown owl, what do you see?
9 months ago. I don't know.
Millipede floating in me.
There was definitely some legs and a body going on. But you know what? It didn't put me off. Rather like when you're in Mexico and you go for that authentic
tequila with the worm in the bottle.
Yeah, with a worm in it. It didn't put me off. I just picked that sucker straight out of this newly opened bottle, tasted the beer, tasted fine. Because I sanitized all my bottles. It may just have been clinging on in there in the sanitation process and didn't let go. I still drank it and it tasted fine. And that's not, it looked worse than this. This just looks like fish food at the bottom of your aquarium. And I'm going to drink this as well.
You're going to call it the millipede brown ale? I think that's...
That's fine. I like this a lot. And it's fruity.
Despite the story, I will be happy to try your brown ale homebrew. I should put my money where my mouth is and start trying to make some stuff as well.
You should.
Here's the thing. I will only do it if I find out that Patrick and Dan are no longer brewing, because I think Manda told me that Patrick and Dan are no longer brewing just because pandemic happened and they couldn't get together and make some brews, because they made some delicious stuff. Yeah.
That's Sparkman. Yeah. Okay.
Because Patrick made a lot of ciders. My friend Sean makes meads every now and then. And then
a kitten watch, a cat watch for Manda and Dan 2 or 3 years ago for the weekend. I tried his homebrew, and he said, whatever is mine is yours. So please, you're here for the weekend, cat watching, drink my homebrew. So I tried to. I tried to drink him dry. I don't mean I tried to drink his homebrew. No, it was perfectly, perfectly quaffable.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying I tried real hard to drink it.
No, I didn't mean that at
all. I ended up on all fours outside the Oktoberfest tent.
I probably had half a dozen bottles. It was delicious.
That was me.
Not doing done it since, then get onto it, Dan.
Doing the regurgitating turtle impression out front of Sainsbury's on a Sunday morning.
I'm out of here.
Oh, I was going to tell you my Iron Brew story. Regardless, whatever. It doesn't matter. Iron Brew, there's another delicious... That's another pop story from Scotland, actually. So, thank you for watching / listening to Eddie or... some of this, and we tried our off-track brewing with the Universal Soldier Kolsch and the Serpent Brewing Crystal Crescent Strawberry Kolsch. They were good. I think we might be slightly Kolsch fans, but only in that Kolsch is apparently German for lager with a personality. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So join us next week live here on Facebook at the Drink NS Dry page on Facebook, or you can check us out at drinkns.unsupervised.beer, where a lot of things, or you can look up the podcast online on the three larger platforms, Spotify, Apple, and Google. But outside of that, we'll see you next week, 8 p.m.-ish, as I always say, on Facebook Live. Thanks for joining us tonight, and thank you very much, Ian, for joining me. I'm your host, Ross. Have an awesome night. Talk to everyone later.